Who can remember, last week we talked about Hannah, and Hannah's, the one word that we looked at, it's grace to something. We looked at Hannah just for, we got most of the lesson done. We actually got about two-thirds of the lesson done last week. Who can remember what we said about her? She had grace to do what? Anybody remember? Okay. That wasn't the word, but that's a good thing to have grace to do. We shouldn't fear people. We should fear God, right? Okay. I heard it. Surrender. Surrender. That's a trust the Lord is good too. But the main theme of Hannah's life that we looked at last week was surrender. That one word, surrender. And I think in the beginning of the lesson, we talked about the song in our hymn book, I Surrender Most. Remember that song? Or I Surrender Some? Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate that, Randall. Correcting me. I needed correction there. Thank you. No, it's I Surrender All. And really, that's the Christian life. A life of surrender. And we learned that about Hannah. Now, what we learned about Hannah early on was she had a difficulty. Number one in the outline was Hannah's difficulty. This is just a quick review if you're taking notes. Hannah's difficulty. And Hannah's difficulty, we looked at it in two specific areas. Number one, we said, letter A, Hannah was barren. Hannah was barren. She wasn't able to have a child, and this was of great concern to her. We see there that in verse, if you have your Bible open to 1 Samuel chapter number 1, and verse 6, the Bible says, and her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. Had shut up her womb. And we talked about the fact that Hannah's difficulty was that she was barren. But we also talked about the fact that she was belittled. Letter B. She was belittled. And the problem was that her husband had another wife. And that's never a good thing. He was married to two ladies at one time. And so that caused problems, and it always does. That's not God's intent. We talked about that. And so Hannah was greatly grieved by this. We can see how much it grieved her. In verse number 8, it says that her heart grieved. And so we saw Hannah's difficulty. There were those two reasons. She was barren and she was belittled. Now, the thing about this, though, is that it says that the Lord had shut up her womb. Verse 6. Okay? So this wasn't, while we would look at this as a negative thing, and it was very difficult for her, this was all part of God's plan. God had done this. And by the way, no matter what it is in your life, God has a perfect plan for your life. God has a perfect plan for my life. Now here's the problem. The problem is not God's plan many times. The problem is me. Because I'm not willing to surrender to God's plan. And anybody else in here guilty of not wanting to surrender? Sure. It's not easy to surrender because we're full of pride. Do you know that for somebody to get saved and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, it involves a high level of surrender? Surrendering any way that I think will get me to heaven and putting my faith in what God's word says will get me to heaven. Well, Hannah learned about surrender, and we learned that from Hannah's life. God had shut up her womb. We talked about, we went over to Jeremiah 29:11. Let's go over there quickly. Hold your place in 1 Samuel. Let's go over to Jeremiah 29. Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29. Let's look at verse number 11. Still reviewing. The nap, do you have that? Could you read that really for me, please? Wow. Let's think about that for a minute. The Lord said, I have the thoughts of peace toward you. And I have thoughts to give you an expected end. In other words, God's plan for our life is a plan for peace in the end. And that expected end, we could label it as the will of God. The will of God. What is the will of God for my life? Well, the will of God for everyone's life is to find what God has for us and then obey it. Now, what does God have for us? Well, we learn different things from God's word, what God has for us. Now, maybe your name's not in the Bible, and it has your name and says, do this. But there's principles that we find in the Word of God that if we apply them to our life, we'll have that expected end that God has for us. So in Hannah's life, God had shut up her womb for a period of time because God had a plan. God had something that He was doing in her life of peace and not of evil to give her that expected end. So then before we go on to the big number two, we did learn that it did cause some concern in Hannah's life. The Bible says there that she was heavy of heart. The Bible says she was grieved. And in other words, every time her husband's other wife, Penina, would say something and bring it up, and it would dig and dig, and it would be a problem, and it'd be stressful. There was something there that would have brought worry on, it would have brought fret on her life. We didn't really develop this a lot last week, but worry affects everything. God did not intend for us to worry. God did not intend for us, another word that the Bible uses is the word fret. F-R-E-T. Fret not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. That word fret is basically don't worry, don't worry. God has your life in His hands, and it's for peace, not for evil, to give you an expected end. And be careful for nothing, Paul said. Philippians 4, many of you remember that statement. Be careful for nothing. What does that mean? It's saying, hey, don't worry about anything. God has your life in His hands. And George Mueller said this. I don't think I gave you this, but I circled it to read it this week. George Mueller said, the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. So when we start to worry, faith leaves. But when we have faith, guess what happens? Worry leaves. We can trust God in our times of difficulty. In other words, difficulty came to Hannah. Difficulty comes to you. Difficulty comes to me. Number two is Hannah's dedication. Hannah's dedication. Hannah had two choices, okay? This is a difficult situation. This is a trial. This is something that I don't like. There's two things that come on us, two decisions we can make. Number one, we can allow that difficulty to push us away from God. Unfortunately, possibly we've been guilty of that in a degree or in a level of allowing a difficulty to push us away from God, or we can allow a difficulty to draw us closer to God. This is what we find happen in Hannah's life, that it made her come closer to Him. She did the right thing. What did Hannah do in the midst of her difficulty? Remember, we read it last week. What did she do? She prayed. She prayed. And in that prayer, she made a vow. Right? Remember, she prayed. She took her difficulty. She took her burden. She took her anxiety, her worry, whatever word you want to label it with. She took it to the Lord. And we find there, that she was dedicated to what God had for her. We learn a lesson for her, from her, that we need to take whatever it is today that is of concern in our life. We have that same opportunity as Hannah did. Take your Bible and turn to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. I go to this verse. I go to these two verses regularly. Regularly. I would mark them in your Bible. I would make note of them in your Bible. If you want to underline them, I would do that. Write them out on a 3x5 card. Memorize them. These are verses of Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All Scripture is profitable. I think we all have our favorites, and we have different verses that mean something significant in our lives, even though the whole Word of God is significant. But these are two verses of Scripture, Psalm 61, verse 1. Who could read Psalm 61, 1 for me? Nice and loud. Okay? Go ahead, Todd. Okay. How about verse 2? Okay. Powerful statements within these verses. How many of us, and you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of us can find ourselves in this kind of situation? And that's this word in verse 2. Now take note of this word, overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Maybe you've used that word in recent times, maybe at work, maybe at home, maybe in a certain situation. Maybe you've thought about it. This is overwhelming. Okay? Isn't it wonderful to know that even when something is overwhelming, we have a promise here from the Word of God that we can go to the one who will help us when things are overwhelming. When it looks like there's no way to figure this thing out, or there's no solution, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Verse 3, for thou hast been a shelter. When we're looking for a shelter, normally what's happening outside or what's happening around us? There's a storm. Maybe it's a snowstorm or a windstorm or a rainstorm or a hailstorm or whatever kind of storm. Thank you. That one too. And we're looking for shelter. We're looking for protection. You know, this world we live in, while we're talking about these storms that are literal storms, it doesn't matter if it's sunny, like the sun was out a few moments ago, it's still out a little bit, we could still be going through an overwhelming time when it's sunny out. So it's not just about the weather, and that's not what the main observation here is. We all recognize how that these things in our life that are overwhelming can come on us. And so I'm encouraging us, and I'm encouraging myself a little bit, once again with Hannah's life. So letter A, we saw her prayer. Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 1. Her prayer was letter A. We find that in verse 10, the Bible says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. We mentioned last week the emotion that is involved in this verse. A brokenness in Hannah's life. I would say this. I would say that I sense in reading that verse, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. I would say that here is a lady that is in a bit of a desperate mode. Brokenhearted. And I wonder whether it's this particular need, and more than likely it's not here today in our congregation. But what is there in your life right now that is of desperate need for God to do something? I submit to you that the same God that Hannah was praying to is the same God that wants to meet your need and meet my need and be that high tower and be that shelter and be that rock and be that anchor that you need and I need in our life. And we must, again, see a bit of Hannah's emotion in this and desperation in this, that look, God, I need you to do something. I need you to work. And I believe we can come to God the same way. And we see a seriousness in Hannah's life there. We looked at Luke 18:1, and he spake a parable unto them that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Praying always. So we see letter A, her prayer, and then letter B, I can't remember if I gave you this or not, but we see her promise. Her promise, I believe I did, because Brother Muhammad mentioned the vow that we talked about. Hannah vowed to the Lord in verse number 11. Who can read verse number 11? Somebody else can take a turn. Hannah made a promise, made a vow, as we said earlier. The vow was very simply laid out right there that if God, you will give me a son, I will give my son back to you. And we'll look at that here in just a moment. Hannah surrendered all. Hannah surrendered all. Look at verse number 19. Miss Carolyn, I saw your hand a minute ago. Would you read verse number 19, please? Lord remembered her. They've gone to worship as they did every year. Hannah's in bitterness of soul. Even the high priest thought that she was drunk, actually, by the way she was praying, and she was so into it emotionally and intense and talking to the Lord and seeking the Lord that God would grant her that request of giving her a son. She wasn't drunk at all. She was just talking to the Lord, intensely talking to the Lord. And here we find in verse number 19 that God remembered Hannah. God granted her request. Who could read verse number 20, please? Amen. So here we see the prayer of Hannah is answered. Hannah's promise is significant because it revealed the degree of surrender to which she had arrived at. So we see her prayer, her promise. Let her see. We see her performance. Her performance. So now Hannah has the baby. His name is Samuel. And Samuel will become obviously a very important man in the Old Testament. And possibly we would talk more about him in another time. God had miraculously answered. Now, imagine, if you will, for the first several years of Hannah's life, we said last week, I remember, possibly 3, possibly 4 years, and it would have obviously become regular routine for Hannah to have her son with her all the time, be taking care of Samuel. But the day came, verse 24, and when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks and 1 ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. Isn't it amazing? And again, I don't know exactly. We can't read into it. But as we see here in this text, we see no reservation from Hannah. We see no hesitation. Maybe that's a better word to use. We see no hesitation from Hannah. She just, when it's time, when Samuel has been weaned from his mother, okay, now it's time. I'm going to take Samuel to the temple, to Eli, and he's going to be brought up there. This is something I dedicated to the Lord. I dedicated him to the Lord. No hesitation, no reservation, no doubts, just sacrificial obedience. I'm sure that didn't make it any easier. I don't know the attachment of a mother to a son. But I'm sure it wasn't any easier, or a daughter for that matter, for a mother. But here she's dedicated to the decision that she had made, her difficulty, her dedication. Hannah followed through. Remember, the one word that we're learning from Hannah's life is surrender. Surrender. Then, number three, we see Hannah's delight. Hannah's delight. God took Hannah's difficulty and turned it into delight. This is God's specialty, by the way. This is what God does best. Chapter 2 in 1 Samuel gives Hannah's point of view on what the Lord had done for her. She had been a woman who was distressed. She had been a woman who was concerned. She had a great burden. God took all of that and worked it together for good. Look at verse number 1. And Hannah prayed and said, "My heart," what's the next word? Rejoiceth. My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I, what? Rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any, what? Rock like our God. Verse 3, talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. I mean, listen to the heart of praise. It would do us good to take time regularly to praise God. It would do us good, and it would be obviously very much appropriate as God's children to pause in our day, to pause in our week, and realize that we have much to rejoice over. Much to rejoice over. And we really emphasize that even this morning for just a few moments in the men's meeting. How often do you find yourself praising God as Hannah praised God? I want to find myself praising God even more. Hannah was someone who took time to... Now again, this is someone who has dropped off her son. This is someone who has followed through on her commitment to the Lord. She has surrendered, a very difficult surrender, and yet she says, you know what? God is good. God is gracious. God has provided everything for me. I wonder this morning, this afternoon, just for a moment, just quickly, not even 30 seconds, but just 5 seconds, 10 seconds, maybe something that God has maybe done, doesn't have to do anything just because of who God is, but just quickly, we see Hannah's voice in praising the Lord in several different ways. What is there in your life that you just like to say in just 5 seconds, this is what I praise God for today? Housing, very good, Brother Reese. A roof over our head, praise God for that. Salvation. From what the Lord has done for us, we're free from our sin and we're on our way to heaven. If you're saved, that's something to praise God for on a daily basis. If you have a roof over your head, that's something to praise God for. Who else? The grace of God. Oh, think of the grace of God. Let's praise God for His grace every day. God's grace, it's amazing, one song told us, right? Yes, sir. Surrender, praising God for surrender. Amen, praise God for surrender. His love, I get you. His love, all right. Think about the love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and strong. And Brother Duane? Clean water. Yes, I went right over to the tap today and got a glass of water and drank it. Didn't even think a second about it. Not everywhere in the world can they do that. But praise God, we have that ability here. Let's praise God for that. Todd? Say it again. Submitting in prayer, okay? All right, you're praising God for that we can do that. Okay, praise the Lord. Good, Melina. You're praising God for answers to prayer. Good. Amen. Somebody else. Praising God for what? Trials. That's a tough one. Trials. But you know what? They help us to come forth as gold. And the Bible does say to give thanks in everything. Trials. What else? I'm praising God for something. Freedoms, yes. Oh, do we ever have so many freedoms here? My goodness, what a blessing to have freedoms. Let's praise God for that. Somebody else, praising God. Yes, sir. Direction, that God leads us. God leads us. God points the way. Amen. Good. Praising God. For the Word of God. For the Word of God. Amen. These are all really good. Think about it. Every day, wouldn't it be wonderful to take, 30 seconds, a minute, probably a lot longer than that. Somebody else. Praising God for. Yes, ma'am. Friendships and family. Isn't that something? Thank you very much. All these friendships and family. I told somebody when we were pulling into the parking lot today, this is the family right here. Mentioning, I was talking about the church and those that are in it. Praise the Lord. Praising God for? Yes, sir, in the back. The love and mercy of God. The love and mercy of God. His mercies are new every morning. Praise God for that. Amen. Someone else. Praising God for? Yes, ma'am. Wisdom. And we all need that. He giveth to all men. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Praise God for wisdom. Wisdom is completely different than knowledge, by the way. Man has all kinds of knowledge. God is the only one who can give wisdom. Praise God for wisdom. Praising God for, yes, sir. Another day in your life. Okay. Praise God for another day. And we're praying for, you might have another one too, Brother Knapp, okay? All right. For one more day, Brother Tejada. For a laundromat. Praising God for a laundromat. Hey, that's exactly what we're talking. Excuse me? You're praising God for that too? Okay. That's good. He's praising God that his washer's broken. Hey, praise God you had the strength to get to the laundromat. Amen. And he was actually texting me that earlier today. And I'll vouch for that. Praise the Lord that we have laundromats. Right? Somebody else. Yes, sir. Great physician. Amen. Praying for Altea. Praying for great physician. God still heals. Amen. Somebody else. Praising God for his care. He takes care of us. Amen. Yes, ma'am. His teachings, very good. That's right. All through the Bible, we can learn about God. Thank you. That's good, Katie. Katie's visiting today, by the way. We'll meet her in the next service. Thank you, Katie. Yes, ma'am. For a church. Praise God for a church. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. That's what Hannah does in these verses. Is she takes time to praise the Lord. Let me finish up this outline, and our time will be done. Letter A, three specific areas that she praised God and in how she delighted in God. Letter A, she praised God in God's deliverance. Chapter 2, verse 1, Hannah recognizes here that God was the one who allowed her to have Samuel. It was God who provided. You can look at them later, but in chapter number 2, the word Lord is mentioned a minimum of 8 times in chapter number 2. God had given her Samuel. God had delivered her from the agitation and the persecution that she faced. God had delivered Hannah. By the way, on this day, 16th of February 2020, if there's something in your life that you're struggling with, God wants to deliver you as well. God wants to give you deliverance. Psalm 25 and verse 20 says, "Oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee." Verse 21, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee." God is worth trusting today. That's part of our theme all year long. God is worth trusting. Hannah praised God for deliverance. Number 2, Hannah praised God for strength. For strength. We notice that in verse number 2. "There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God." Hannah looked at the Lord to be her rock. Turn over to Psalm 46 quickly. Psalm 46. Hannah looked at the Lord to be her strength, to be her sufficiency. Psalm 46. There's something about this verse that I'd like to point out. And you may know this verse. Maybe you've memorized this verse before. Psalm 46, verse number 1. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. How many of you have heard that verse before? Psalm 46, verse 1, before I just read it, okay? You know what has always stood out to me in that verse is the two words, very present. Very present. Very is an adverb describing the word present. It's not just that God is present in our life, but the Bible here tells us that He is very present. In other words, whatever comes your way, whatever comes my way, whatever happens in our life, we have someone who we can lean on. We have someone who is very present. He is our strength. Just like He was for Samuel, He is our rock. He is our strength. Psalm 31 verse 3 says, "For thou art my rock and my fortress." My rock and my fortress. She praised God for deliverance. She praised God for strength. And one more. She praised in God's service. In God's service. See, Hannah kept serving the Lord. Look at chapter 2. Let's go back to 1 Samuel. Hannah kept serving the Lord. Hannah kept doing the will of God. Look at verse 19 of 1 Samuel 2. "Moreover, his mother," Samuel's mother, that's Hannah, "made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year. When she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice." Remember Hannah at the beginning of our lesson. She was worshiping God in the same place with a very anxious heart. She was worshiping God year upon year, and each year her anxious level, her stress level would go up, 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 and up. Now she has a totally different view when she comes to Shiloh to worship. God has answered her prayer. God has met her need. God has supplied what Hannah needed, and now she comes with a spirit of overflowing joy, knowing that when she arrives there, she's going to see Samuel. I don't know that it took her the whole year, but the Bible says that every year she would make this little coat for Samuel, and I guess she would make one a little bigger each year when she would go to Shiloh to worship the Lord to give to her son. Year after year, she would make her coat for Samuel. Samuel would become someone very important. Samuel would become a prophet. Samuel would become someone whom God would use. And here we see Hannah, for her own son, making him a coat. We might say that this was a ministry that Hannah had towards Samuel. Now, look at verse 21 of 1 Samuel 2. We'll just bring this to a conclusion. "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." You know, here we see Hannah has five more kids. One of those major things that was on her heart was not being able to have children. She was barren. And yet as soon as she was willing to surrender to the Lord, that's our theme word, surrender. As soon as she was willing to surrender something to the Lord, and that may not be what you need to surrender, having kids. That may not be the burden on your heart today, but surely there is something on our heart today, each and every one of us, in our own life, in our own journey, in our own path that we're on. We might just have to say, you know what, this area, it really needs to be surrendered to the Lord. It really needs to be just given to God. And let God take care of it. Let God meet the need. Let God perform a miracle, which He still is more than capable and able to do. By the way, God is worthy of our surrender. No one else is worthy of my surrender, by the way, except the Lord. No one here is worthy of your surrender except God. He's worthy of it. Jesus Christ paid it all. Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again that we might have eternal life someday in heaven through Him. And the least we can do is live our life for God's glory and surrender to Him and give back to Him of what He has given to us. How does this happen? How can we do this? It's the grace of God. It's the grace of God that saves us. It's the grace of God that enables us to surrender. I think what happens many times in our life, as it's happened in my life, is surrender becomes harder and harder to do when we allow our priorities to get out of line. When our priorities don't line up with how God would want our priorities to line up, it's difficult sometimes to surrender. But there is so much joy, as we see from Hannah. There is so much joy. She gave Samuel to the Lord before those five kids came along. Five more kids. She surrendered to the Lord as she had promised, and then there came God's blessing. You know what? God's blessing comes as we surrender to Him. It is definitely, as our lessons are, a portrait of grace. When you think of someone in the Bible that is a portrait of surrender, it's definitely this lady. We've got about 10 minutes.